Radio.
This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello, cat friends. Welcome to Catitude. I'm your show host, Michelle Fern. So, us cat lovers, you know, we love our cats, but then they get old. We wonder, do they have arthritis? Are they just slowing down? Is my cat getting lazy? Why isn't she running around anymore? Or maybe they were never that energetic and you want them to be energetic. Well, my guest today has a lot of answers for us, so I cannot wait to introduce you to her. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. I'd like to welcome Dr. Kelly Fishman. She is the founder of Strut Animal Mobility Specialist. Welcome, Dr. Kelly.
Thank you, Michelle. I'm so happy to be here.
I'm so happy to have you. So one of the things that we always worry about with our cats is that they're stoic creatures, right? So it's hard to tell when something's going on. And as they age, they hide their pain. So you don't know what's going on. So how did you come to specialize in this? And then we'll get into, you know, how maybe some ideas of how we could tell what's going on with our cat. But how did you come to find Strut Animal Mobility Specialist?
So it all started off in vet school when I actually thought I'd be a cat specialist veterinarian. And I was vice president of the cat club. And I organized this event where this veterinary acupuncturist came down and we all had to bring our cats in. And of course, we're all in the cat club and I have two kitties at the time and we bring them all in and she's going to show us how she acupunctures cats. And it's this sterile room with high top metal tables and all these little nervous kitties and their carriers. And she just kind of pulls them out one by one, puts acupuncture needles in them and the entire room of cats just like goes to sleep. And I was like, wow, that's really cool. What is this magic that she's doing? Acupuncture. And it works in cats. Wow. You know, I didn't even know. I mean, no, it worked in people and maybe dogs, but, you know, kitties. So I then wanted to go above cats and just understand how we could use things aside from pain medication to help make animals feel better. And those things are, you know, acupuncture, cold laser therapy, massage, gentle chiropractic or physical therapy, exercises to build strength and body awareness. Because of that, I went into what's called animal physical rehabilitation. And that's the science of, you know, making animals who are in pain physically feel better.
Okay.
Yeah. So you're right about kitties with hiding stuff, you know, gosh, like they hide pain. They're our little predator and prey species, as we're taught in vet school, you know, so being a predator to small mice and things like that, they're certainly top dog, but they're also prey animals. So they love to hide pain. You're right.
I had my own situation with how, well, they hid pain. I didn't even realize it because Dennis was my first cat and he found me and he ended up with having crystals in his urine. And it was so bad. I had no idea. It was so bad that one place I brought him said, oh, he's gone. Forget it. Just put him down. And I said, I will not. I took him out of there and went to another vet and they had to do a surgery. It was a whole big thing. Dennis's part Maine Coon. Everybody loved him. And You know, he was two. He's about, I think he's 15 now. So, I mean, that was a surgery situation, but that just goes to show I had no idea he was in pain. At one point, he made some little like owl sounds. You know how they have chirpy sounds sometimes?
Yeah.
But I had no idea.
Yeah.
And it was serious. So it's just, even if you're in tune with your cat, so I was a new cat pet parent, but even if you're in tune with your cat, it's hard to tell what they're hiding. Really hard.
Yeah, it's so hard. And I think, you know, when I think about pain in cats, it's really about changes in behavior. And those are really hard to tell because those are seen over time. So for example, one of the ones that I kind of watch out for and that my own cat was actually showing me this weekend is perching on the edge of the litter box to use the litter box or any kind of litter box change in behavior. And most cat parents know that. That's a big red flag. But even just wanting to use the litter box in a slightly different way, like cats are such creatures that habit. They want to like have their litter box always like, you know, in a certain place and use it in a certain way. And when anything changes, that's a really good way to start being, you know, attention to things. And that thing could be, again, general signs of pain, urinary bladder stones. It could be arthritis. It could be constipation, you know, inability to like want to pee or kind of be blocked. So many different ways. But yes, it's really these subtle changes in behavior. And those are hard to notice because we're busy. Our kitties are mostly sleeping during the day and maybe doing some play. So it's hard to really track.
So how do you notice these slight changes?
So I think it's tough because I don't have an easy answer for that. It's a little bit easier when I'm thinking about arthritis, which is that's the one that I have experienced with every one of my cats has had arthritis. And actually, we're learning now that 61% of six-year-old kitties have arthritis, and we have no idea. And then when they get to 10 or 11, which is considered a senior, it's 90%. That is a huge number that it shocks me. But then I look at my cats and at that age, they're all showing signs of arthritis pain. And what are those signs?
Look how far we've come. We're recognizing arthritis in our cats, alternative ways of treating pain. This would not be on the horizon as something to think about even 5 years ago.
No, it wasn't. And the other thing that's getting exciting is, you know, some of the pain, like we didn't have really good ways to treat pain medically. So, you know, cats, like they don't love to be medicated. You know, so we have some good options.
Really hard. Okay.
Yeah.
So let's go back to what you were saying. So with arthritis in cats, the only thing I could think of, so my cats were never jumpers, you know, they were not climbers. But I noticed that Molly, you know, hesitates when she does a little jump, even a small jump. I'm thinking that might be arthritis. Does that sound right? Or
that's absolutely arthritis. That's absolutely arthritis. So that's actually what my little Sophia did. And she would do the same thing where she would just do micro jumps. So she wanted to get to the table. So she would jump from the chair to the higher chair to the table. Or she would, when she wanted to use a cat tree, she would go, instead of jumping to the third rung, she'd go up little steps or jump to the couch to get up there. And it was arthritis. She had it in her little, actually in her little paws, which actually made nail trims really difficult. She was always good with them and then got bad with them later in life because she got arthritis in her little feet. So absolutely right. That's one of the big signs. The other one is not grooming as much. So a lot of times they'll just be poor groomers. You'll look down at your kitty and be like, why is their coat not as good? Or why are they leaving litter on their paws? Like cats like to be clean, you know, and that could be a sign that they're not wanting to bend down and be as fastidious as a groomer and grooming. And then also the other thing is just coming up and down stairs in different ways. That's a really big tell as well. So for example, one of my kitties used to always walk upstairs and then he started to bunny hop up. And that was a big sign that he had arthritis in his hips that I was also not aware of.
I guess as long as we're somewhat aware, they do give us a hint. So we just have to know what to look for.
Yes, exactly. And we have to pay attention, you know, and it's like I said, I wish I had an easy way to do it. You know, certainly when we're thinking about cat pain, if your cat is not grooming as well, if they are hesitating to jump up or down or even going up and down the stairs, if they're one of those three, and they're over the age of six, there is a great possibility that they have arthritic pain, just given the numbers of cats that we know have this. And then any one of those pain signs, like I would say Molly should be screened to see if she has arthritis.
Yep, she should. So what can we do to ease our cat's discomfort? And are there supplements that we should be giving them, or do they work?
Yeah, so with kitties, if I'm thinking about arthritis, I really want to do something that supplements the joints. And then I like to do things that supplement the muscle. And things that, you know, joint supplement, some really great examples would be fish oils or green-lipped mussel. Those things are anti-inflammatory. They're really, really good for joint health. So that would be a great thing to supplement with. Now, I have a very hard time getting my cats, all but my orange one, to take a fish oil. You think they would do it, but for some reason, they do not like fish oil. So I've not been able to get it, but that would be a great supplement to do.
But there's something funny. I just ordered fish oil for Molly.
Good luck.
No, right? I'll try. You would think. I mean, okay, they don't like it. So then what do we do? Can you give it to them in their food? I was going to put it in her food.
Yeah, you can absolutely give it into their food. Or there's certain prescription diets. So if you wanted to feed your cat a prescription diet that has a fish oil already incorporated. The other thing I've actually find that cats do tolerate a little bit better and like better is green-lipped mussel. And green-lipped mussel, instead of being a fish oil, which is where they kind of render down the fish and kind of concentrate it, the green-lipped mussel is actually derived from mussels. And so it's a little brinier. Like my kitties love, I actually have a supplement that has the green-lipped mussel in it. And they seem to really like that. The other thing you could do is sardines.
What was it called? Green-lipped
mussel?
Lipped mussel?
Yep.
Okay.
So that's a great one. So those are things that are great for the joints.
And then sardines, like
yes.
Sardines?
Yeah.
Okay.
So you could try to give your kitty a little sardine. So thinking about the joints, which is these things that are anti-inflammatory and support the joints that are getting older, they're breaking down. I also love to do things that support the muscle. So we know that cats are just, most of our kitties are indoors and they're older, they're a little bit doughy, I should say that, like, you know, not well muscled. If I had a dog, I could do squats with it or push-ups, but my kitty, like the cat exercises are, you know, asking them to stretch with a laser pointer or use a toy to get them in and out of a box. But exercises to build muscle, like my cats, maybe they're interested for about a minute of play and then they're done. So I like to do things that try to support the muscle and build back muscle. So I like to feed an ingredient called fordotropin. And fordotropin, which is spelled F-O-R-E-T-R-O-P-I-N, it's scientifically backed and proven in cats, in kitties, not just dogs, but also in kitties, to build lean muscle and to be really well tolerated. So it doesn't make them, you know, have stomach upset, and it's really easy on the kidneys. And so I also give those to my kitties if they're suffering from arthritis because it's building the muscle. And they also have an ingredient or a product with the green-lipped mussel in it. So if you kind of wanted, that's what I do with my cat. So I feed fordotropin, which is found in this Myos pet. They have a feline version and it has the green-lipped mussel. So I feel like it's an all-in-one. I mean, my cats love it. So that's what I do personally for my own kitties with arthritis.
This is such fascinating information. All right, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. Molly, here's your dinner. Zeus, that's not your food.
Don't let that happen to your precious cat. Elevate your cat's eating experience with the Cat Tree Tray. The Cat Tree Tray keeps your cat's food off the floor and conveniently located on the cat tree. It's the perfect way to eat. It's a beautiful wrought iron tray that easily attaches to your cat tree and keeps dogs and other critters out of your cat's dish. A must for multi-pet households. There's a 6-inch tray for large bowls and a 4-inch tray for smaller bowls. Purchase your cat tree tray today. Go right now to cattreetray.com. That's cattreetray.com. CATTREETRAY.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. We're speaking to Dr. Kelly Fishman about things we can do to slow down your cat's aging, to build up their muscle, to help them with their arthritis. And Dr. Kelly, there's such fascinating, interesting information. I mean, I had no idea that cats had arthritis, so many of them in their senior years. I think it's because it's hard to tell. With dogs, you walk them, you could see that when they start to drag, you know, as they get older. Because I had dogs before I had cats. So you can see that in dogs. With cats, you don't see it as much. You have to be a detective.
Yeah, it's true. And vets don't even know. It's one of those things where even your veterinarian, if you go to your vet, you have an older cat that's kind of slowing down. And now there's more awareness because Solensia, which is a pain medication made for cats with arthritis, because the company that makes that has done a really good job of like providing awareness to veterinarians. Most veterinarians are now learning. But a few years ago, most veterinarians would have no idea why your cat was suffering or even that they were. So it's not even like us, it's our pet parents. It's also like us as in veterinarians too.
We have to get more knowledgeable about what our cats need. What about exercise? Is there anything you could do for exercising to help your cats? I mean, I know it's hard when they have arthritis to get them to move. And like you said before, your cats are interested, you know, in moving around for about a minute. Mine too. It wouldn't matter what the toy is. They just don't really engage.
Yeah.
They like boxes and bags, you know?
I know.
Cleaner for 5 minutes, then they're just, you know, tired of it. So I've done a lot of shows. Some of them, there's been some tricks and tips, but they never seem to be engaged for more than a short time.
Yeah, I agree. And I kind of do wonder if it's just because of like how the cat play is stimulating, you know, their predator behavior. They have to chase the mouse or get the bird. So it's almost like I've done this for a few minutes and I should have caught this thing and I'm going to give up. But, you know, it's funny that kitties I can get into things like swimming or the underwater treadmill are orange male cats, Maine Coons like Dennis, and Bengals actually will go in the underwater treadmill or do swimming, believe it or not. And then some of the other ones, I don't have a lot of great answers either. Sometimes I'll do things like incorporating boxes for them to jump in and out of. And then I like to do a wall stretch. That's my favorite, where I just take a laser pointer and put it on the wall. And then my kitty right now, Nelson, he's a 10-year-old white domestic short hair. I put a little laser pointer on the wall, then he has to kind of grab it. And he stretches out when he stands up on the wall, he stretches out his spine and his hips. And that's a great one to do. So just, I think, listen, we can't get them to build muscle, but we have supplements that can do that. We can't get them to keep moving, but we can do little things and we can do those stretches. And maybe it's not kitty squats, but it's something.
It's something. What about for younger kitties that maybe have a little bit more energy? I know that people have been walking their cats for a while now, at least 10 or probably more years than 10, 20 years. But how hard is it to get your cat into a harness to be walked?
Well, I've done this with 3 of my kitties. So you can harness train them when they're kittens. So that basically involves putting the harness on indoors, where in their nice safe space that they know they feel comfortable in. You just like provide treats and let them wear the harness indoors when they're comfortable. And then what you do is you then attach a leash, get them used to walking around with a leash and having pressure. And then you bring them outside. And then most of the time you bring them outside and 60% of the cats kind of go into the crouch mode and get freaked out until they realize that they're in a safe place. But certainly harness training is really helpful. The other thing I did with my most recent cat is I trained him to sit and I trained him to like jump on and up like through hoops. So I think if I had a kitten again, I would certainly do that and then do that as like a way to like maintain fitness, you know, like so he's always sitting when he gets a treat or he has to jump through a hoop to get a treat. And honestly, teaching my cat to sit was way easier than teaching a dog. You just hold a little treat over their nose and he sits right away. They learn. They're so much faster like learners than dogs are. It's just if they want to repeat the behavior or not, that's up to the kitty. But they're certainly good learners.
There you go. And ages ago, I had through my other show on Pet Life Radio, Best Bets for Pets, I had a kitty harness. So I thought, I'm going to put it on Dennis and take him out because he's part Maine Coon, so he's very easy. Like he's real easy, which I'm grateful for. And So I put the harness on, took him outside. I'm thinking I'm going to walk him like a dog, right? And I'm probably like most people, I don't have a ton of patience for certain things. So I just thought, we'll do this. Come on, Dennis, we'll do this. I think I maybe had treats. He took a couple of treats and then, you're right, he just sat there. He's like, what the heck? I'm a cat. I don't do this. So that did not last too long. I probably could have, if I was more patient, trained him a bit. But, you know, it's funny. He's the oldest of my cat crew, and he's the one that jumps around the most.
Interesting. Yeah, I would still screen him just because you said he's 14, 15?
Yeah.
Yeah, he probably has it. And Maine Coons are big kitties. So, you know, I was like worried about, so the cats, actually the place they get arthritis, this is important. They get in their elbows and their hips, like their most common spots. So yeah, I think Maine Coons maybe kind of like Bengals, like they just like have like a drive, like they just like kind of want to, like they have a drive that like makes them want to keep going, you know? So I think that's also part of it. Like maybe they kind of work through stuff, pain, and don't show it as much as other cats. Breeze.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's my own personal thought. Like I don't have any evidence for that or anything, just being a cat owner.
And he's not that big of a Maine Coon. He's big, but he's not that big. You know, on Instagram, there's a few people that have pictures of Maine Coons that are, I mean, what, like 30 inches, 40 inches long, like crazy, huge.
Yeah. Like, yeah, they could be quite big.
They have a great personality. So
yeah. Maine Coon and orange kitties and tuxedos are,
yes,
you know.
Well, I have a tuxedo, but she's a cat with attitude. So she's typical cat. That's what I say about her. You have to do it by her way. So
right.
We've talked about a lot of things that cat parents can do to detect, you know, arthritis and if their cat's not feeling well and what to look for. What are some overall things that cat parents can do to make their cats happier and healthier? Because it can be overwhelming and there's so many things out there now, you know, acupuncture and arthritis. And we didn't even touch on probiotics because I don't think that's in your wheelhouse, but that's out there too. Well, you're a vet, so you know about probiotics, but there's all kinds of different things coming up and it could be so overwhelming. So what would you say to the cat parent? You know what? Of all the things to focus on, these are the top maybe three or five items that you should really, you know, keep in mind.
So first of all, about the probiotics, actually, I have recently started to become a big fan of probiotics and not forgetting that like the gut is such an important organ. So I actually also feed my kitty probiotics and that's been very helpful because it's helped with some of his chronic occasional vomiting that he had and just making sure he had a nice flora has been really important. So I definitely think probiotics are a great addition. And also there's some great calming probiotics in cats and for cats that are great for separation anxiety and other kind of behavioral issues. So yes, probiotics, you already brought that up. That's something I like and recommend. So I think that the thing that I would say is, you know, I think as veterinarians, we've done a bad job of really understanding how to feed cats and what to feed cats. And I don't unfortunately have the answer because we don't know. It seems to be that as much as possible, I would tell people to not feed kibble. And the reason is cats, when they eat in their natural state, is they like to eat several times a day, like as in 5 to 6 times a day, mini meals of high protein, high water content. So maybe that would look like one mouse and several insects or things like that. So that's how they naturally eat. They're kind of a solitary predator, solitary hunter, many meals, eat, snack, right? And sleep. So that's kind of what they naturally do. And when we have kibble is very dry and it doesn't provide a lot of moisture to it. So cats who, again, are desert creatures probably also got a lot of their water from their food. So I would try as much as possible to stick away from kibble because it seems to be it's the least natural way to feed the kitties just because it's, again, it's not very hydrating. And then what happens is because it's almost like eating a bag of chips, like the cat then who wants to go to it and have many micro meals constantly is grazing at the kibble bowl and then they become overweight. And obesity is a huge problem in cats. Not only does it make things like arthritis work, it predisposes them to diabetes and all kinds of problems. So if we could just prevent obesity in cats by, you know, trying to feed them in ways that prevents obesity, which is trying to move away from kibble, try to do that. So I switch my kitties to, they both eat, all my cats eat canned food as much as possible.
Okay, so even if your cats drink water, you'd say minimize or eliminate kibble entirely.
Yes. Yes. And actually, cats who eat kibble will drink more water than cats who don't, because they are get dehydrated and they then seek out water. So when you have a cat, if you're always fed kibble and then you switch to a wet food, then you'll notice that your cat's water intake will go down because you're getting more water from the food.
What if you do a mix?
You could do a mix. You could definitely do a mix. It's just as much as possible, minimize the kibble. So, you know, if I have to do a kibble, I like to feed it as a treat.
That's a good idea.
As like a little treat. Yeah. So that's my thing is, you know, and hopefully one day we learn even more about cat nutrition, how to feed them better. But it certainly seems that doing things like, you know, the kibble, unfortunately, isn't as, while it's easy and convenient, and I had to feed it for, you know, my kitties at certain points in my life where I was busy vet student and, you know, I went on vacation and I couldn't get someone to come watch them and I had to feed kibble. Or with my first cat who I got when I was quite young, I fed kibble and I could never get her off it. Even though I tried, she could not eat canned food. You know, there's certain circumstances, but as much as possible, trying to stay away from it.
That is good advice. Any other tips?
No, I don't really have any. I mean, I think just, you know, our kitties are such special loving creatures. And I think, I don't know, I just think that like paying attention to them and just, you know, loving them as much as possible is such a great thing. They just are such great little animals.
Yes, they are. And they could teach you a lot. We just have to open our minds and our eyes and just listen, you know, because in our world where we're rushing around and doing multitasking and all this kind of stuff, sometimes, you know, we expect our fur babes to behave that way. And cats, for one, do not. At least mine don't. And from what I learned from them is you really have to pay attention to them and what they want. They have their own personalities and needs, and you just have to focus in on what they want.
Yes, that's really well said. That's exactly right.
So tell us where people can find out more about you and learn more about Strut Animal Mobility Specialists and just find out more about you in general.
So you can certainly find me on my website, strutanimal.com. And I'm on Instagram and Facebook, also at Strut Animal. And is always free to reach out to me, send me a message. I'm always happy to answer questions about cats or dogs or anything.
Dr. Kelly, I want to thank you so much for coming on Cattitude.
Yes, thank you, Michelle. It was lovely talking to you about kitties.
I hope you all enjoyed the show. What fascinating information that Dr. Kelly Fishman had. I would like to mention again, she is the founder of Strut Animal Mobility Specialists. Strutanimal.com is her website. Please check it out. This is great info about our kitties. Thanks to my cat crew, Molly, Charlotte, and Dennis, for teaching me about cats. And I could just learn and learn and learn. There's so much we don't know about cats, even though we're getting better all the time. So thanks, Cat Crew. And of course, thank you so much to my listening audience. That I thank you for listening to Cattitude for all these years. I've been hosting it for 8, and I just appreciate you so much. So thank you for your loyal listenership. And of course, this show would not be the same without the magic of my producer, Mark Winter. So thank you, Mark. And remember, lose the attitude, have Cattitude.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand. Only on PetLifeRadio.com.